This is PodTech.net. I'm Michael Johnson here on the floor of Interop 2006 in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm here with Tom Barsi, who is the CEO and president of Concentry Networks. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me a little bit about Concentry, like a little bit of what the history of the company is, and then we can get up to what's your the good news that you've got here at the show today, and also about what you're offering.
Thank you. So Concentry Networks is focused on building the secure LAN through the integration of security and switching. We're 3 years old as a company, widely recognized as one of the fastest growing startups in the Silicon Valley, just won top 10 startups in network world. And from an exciting standpoint for us, just getting best of show for our most recent announcement, the LAN Shield Secure Switch.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
But tell me a little bit about the LAN Secure Switch and why that's a solution that people are looking for.
Well, there's a lot of discussion at the show around LAN security, and a lot of folks will, what does that mean? And when we talk about LAN security, it's really about controlling who gets access to your network. And historically, LANs were really built around connectivity and allowing people open access on the network. And now the challenge with enterprises is controlling where these people go on the network. And what makes us unique is we offer two approaches. One is the LAN Shield Switch, which obviously sits in the wire closet and gives you per port control and security. The alternative approach that we offer is a controller device that works with the existing infrastructure. So very different than some of the leading vendors that are out there that are forcing a switch upgrade. We provide a solution that overlays on top of the existing infrastructure. No need to touch your endpoint software. No need to upgrade your switches. Bind into your existing identity store and enable you to lock down your LAN at a fraction of the cost, a fraction of the time, and a fraction of the resources that are out there today.
And seamlessly, too. Yeah?
And seamlessly.
Now, tell me a little bit, I mean, I've been talking with a few people here about at the show about sort of this centralization versus decentralization. Some companies are going one way, some companies are going the other way. Some are doing it for just practicality's sake. Does your LAN switch kind of deal with that, that you're addressing some of those issues?
Yeah, and you can have the argument, but, our approach is, we just did a CIO boot camp for best practices here at Interop, and best practice number one is defense in depth. So the reality of when you look at your security infrastructure, it's really about having security controls across your enterprise, at the core, at the perimeter, and as you move out towards the edge. Concentry is focused around pushing that control mechanism out towards the wire closet. So we like to say that this whole LAN security is a new frontier. There is really no products that exist today to solve this problem. And if you want control on your network, you have to push that capability deep into your network because you want to be able to stop threats and hackers and users as they try to get on the network. So you got to have that. You got to push out that intelligence out to the edge. But you got to do it in a way that doesn't break the bank for the enterprise from a budget perspective.
What about internal security? Is that an issue that's dealt with by the LAN Shield, or is it more from protection from the outside?
No, absolutely. LAN, with Concentry, it is internal security. It is the LAN. That's really the difference. Historically, it's about keeping the bad guys out. What's happened is with the downturn, people have guests that walk in the building. People have contractors that have access to the internal resources on your network. And the trick is, and then you got, always on broadband where people are at Starbucks downloading viruses. So what happened is the perimeter has really gone away. So we really see the LAN as the new DMZ. And put simply, every user and computer represents a threat. So the trick is the ability to authenticate and control and enforce who gets access to what resources on your network. And that's really what Concentry is all about, identifying users and applications. And that's really the disruption here. It's no longer about just connectivity and ports. It's around, controlling Michael and controlling where Michael goes on the network and knowing who you are and what you are and tracking what you're doing from a compliance perspective.
Is there a place that people can go to read about more information about the LAN Shield?
Absolutely. Stop by our booth here at Interop here in Vegas. It's been a wonderful show for us. Getting the best of show with our new LAN Shield switch is just a tremendous endorsement for the company. But I'll point you to our website at www.concentry.com.
And let's give that address again and also the spell Concentry.
Okay, it's www.concentry.com. That's Concentry.
Hi, my name is Chris Williams, and I'm the Chief Marketing Officer for Expand Networks.
Now, tell me a little bit about the background of Expand Networks, and we can talk about sort of where it got to, how it got to where it is today.
Sure. Expand Networks was a company that was founded in 1998. and was one of the early pioneers in a space that's referred to as the WAN optimization space. In essence, we created technology that solved the problem of delivering application performance to remote locations. So being able to give these remote users that represent anywhere from 70 to 80% of a company's employee base operating out of their remote branch offices the same kind of performance for their applications that the people residing in the corporate location would get on the local area network.
What kinds of issues come up when they're out there?
A lot of the issues really have to do with the limitations of wide area networking technology. When you look at the kind of bandwidth that users get in a corporate office on a local area network, it's a significant amount of bandwidth. Yet when you're operating out of a remote office, that bandwidth could be significantly less. Imagine companies whose employees are working out on oil rigs, where their only form of communication would be satellite communications, which inherently has a latency challenge because of the distance that the data has to travel. Or operating in other parts of the world, now that we're going to this globalization model, where the infrastructure isn't as sophisticated, and so they may not have the adequate amount of bandwidth in order to manage their applications from a high-performance perspective.
Tell me a little bit about some of the basic components of the Compass platform.
So in an IP networked environment, when you have different types of applications contending for that limited bandwidth, you have to make sure that you can prioritize which traffic has the most importance. Increasingly, as companies deploy voice over IP, you have to assign voice the highest level of priority. Otherwise, you'll get a level of call quality that the users will not be happy with. There are other technologies such as application acceleration, which has at its core both accelerating different protocols as these applications move over to the next generation of protocols, which are still inefficient from a wide area network perspective. There needs to be an application acceleration component at the protocol level. Expand also has the ability to accelerate certain applications such as Citrix, which are, you know, which run in a very slow manner over remote environments, wide area network environments. So we have the ability to not only accelerate all of the standard protocols, but also specific applications such as Citrix and ERP applications, etc. The latest addition to the Expand Compass platform was the addition of wide area file services. And in essence, this is really the technology that's allowing companies to consolidate their servers.
Now, we've covered a lot of stuff here, all the way from the history to, I think, the what sounds like pretty complex applications of what Compass is going to cover. Is there a place that folks can go if they want to read a little bit more about it, take their time to digest a little bit? Is there a website?
Absolutely. Expand.com would be the place to go to get all of this information. It's been recently refreshed with new messaging, and more importantly, we've also incorporated a lot of the business messages around the technology because increasingly the business owners have a vested interest in the success of how these applications get delivered across these networks to their remote users who are being asked to deliver increased productivity.
Okay, and let's give the website one more time and spell it as well.
www.expand.com.
This is podtech.net on the floor of Interop 2006 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Michael Johnson, and I'm here with Dan Martin, who is the Director of Marketing for MIR3 Incorporated. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Michael.
Tell me a little bit about MIR3 and how the company, sort of where it started and where it is now.
We started in 2001, just right after 9/11. We had existing IT technology. At the fall, or excuse me, the spring of 2002, we attended a little-known show up in Reno called NDMS, National Disaster Medical Show. It was at that time we discovered a need for high-speed automated communication to mobilize DMAT teams in times of emergency. We spread from emergency teams into the corporate sector, in the business continuity disaster recovery space. And since that small beginning with one small DMAT team in California, we've increased our sales base to encompass such companies as Procter & Gamble, Visa, Allstate, and quite a few global 2,000 companies that use us for worldwide emergency notification for business continuity disaster recovery situations.
Now, you know, it might be obvious to some, but why don't you tell me what the basic sort of, you know, need for notification is? I mean, everybody, you know, it's all about communication.
That's right.
And everybody needs to be, you know, on the same page about stuff.
Sure.
So how does that work in this environment?
Well, let's take an example of Procter & Gamble, where you've got 23 subsidiaries worldwide, and you have a situation, for example, the tsunami that hit Australasia. They had a situation where they did not know what the status of their company managers were. So in an example like that, with a high-speed global communications network, you're able then to issue a communication outbound to all of your country staff, which is, what is your status? What is your location? Are you okay? Do you need help? Are you able to maintain business continuity? Then with our system, we actually get a response back, the two-way, closing the cycle in a very, very high-speed fashion within minutes. We can start getting communication back from the field.
It's a way of sort of pinging the network in a way
right,
to
exactly.
find out if there's any problems out there. So
that's
if
right.
that unit out there is not responding, then you know that there may be a problem.
That's right. That's exactly right. Safe networking is about people.
Now, that seems a really kind of important point, I think, that you just made about things. I think, especially at this, which is basically a big plug fest, this
Absolutely.
Thing. And there's, I mean, it is ultimately about people communicating together. But this is an interesting sort of application of that same technology, but really taking it with the intent of the person in mind.
Right. It's important to get out to the, you know, the plug heads, you know, people that are actually doing the plugging in, to understand, you know, that with a monitoring package that you're going to use for your IT, with the same budget, you can also bring in, you know, a emergency notification for your business continuity. So they can share the budget so that the business continuity director or vice president actually has the same skin in the game in terms of the budgeting, you know, that the IT director has. And so that they can, with one product, take care of supply chain logistics, business continuity, disaster recovery, as well as their IT alerting needs.
If folks would like to find out a little bit more about MIR3's information that we've been talking about today, the white paper, and also the announcement of the IN Tech Center, where can they go?
They can go to our website at www.mir3.com. Right in the front of our website, there's actually links to the new IN Tech Center release as well as the white paper.
I've been talking today with Dan Martin, who's the Director of Marketing for MIR3, M-I-R-3 Incorporated. And again, the website, Dan?
www.mir3.com.
Okay. Thanks for being with us on the podcast.
Michael, thank you very much for the interview today, and it was a pleasure.
This is Rich Swire from Highwall Technologies.
Now, tell me a little bit about Highwall Technologies and sort of its how long it's been around and sort of what kind of growth areas it's gone through.
Sure. Well, Highwall Technologies has been around a little bit over 3 years. We focus primarily on wireless security. We've grown our product portfolio to include mobile security now, where we've allowed companies not only to secure wireless networks, but also move out to the mobile user and mobile worker and help secure the wireless laptop inside and outside of the corporate firewall.
So what kinds of things are you showing here at Interop 2006?
So this show, we're introducing a new product called Highwall Endpoint, which we install on the smartphone or laptop, and we basically allow companies to control the wireless usage of that laptop. So we can distribute a policy down to the end user to say, hey, we don't want this person to connect to unauthorized access points, or we want to eliminate peer-to-peer networks or dual homing. And it just gives a little bit more control to the company and allowing the, you know, a little bit more policy, a little bit more strength on the endpoint that they don't have today with wireless.
So these are a set of protocols that live on whatever the remote device is.
Yeah, we install a little smart agent on the device that grabs policy from our centralized servers, and we can control that device, whether it's inside of the corporate firewall, at a hotspot, or in the home. And we just really are concerned about that wireless device being a hole and being an access for somebody to come in and steal data or to kidnap a connection. And we allow them to secure that device, whether, again, if it's inside or outside of the company.
Is the device in constant communication with the mothership, if
yeah,
you will?
Yeah, it's all configurable, but essentially calls home for new policies, calls home and reports what it did, and it allows a company to see any vulnerabilities, but also if there is an issue or they can track an issue, they have a pretty sophisticated log of what that device, where it's been, what it's done. And, of course, if there's anything, if there's any issues from a security perspective.
If folks would like to find out more about Highwall Technology, is there a website they can go
Absolutely.
To?
Our website is www.highwalltech.com.
Okay, one more time.
www.highwalltech.com.
Okay, I've been talking today with Rich Swire, who's the CEO of Highwall Technologies, about mobile security. And if you want to find out more, check out the website. And thanks for being with us on the podcast today, Rich.
No problem. Thanks, Michael.
My name's Andy Saltwick. I'm the general manager of the data protection unit at SafeNet. The specific thing we're here today to talk about is the launch of three new products, Ethernet encryption products. As you may be aware, for a long period of time, there's been a requirement to encrypt the wide area or infrastructure that exists out there. And SafeNet's been there pretty much from its inception. So we've had link encryptors, frame encryptors, ATM encryptors, and we've also been in the marketplace of IPsec. And we're one of the foundation companies in relation to IPsec. And today we pretty much develop a lot of the acceleration equipment that's used for IPsec by a lot of the vendors in the marketplace, such as Cisco, as an example. We also have a lot of software development tools that IPsec vendors use to develop the solutions that they have in that particular space. One of the things we found, though, is that our customer base, as they're moving forward, they're starting to deploy Ethernet services more and more.
Now, what kind of concerns come up when your customers are getting more into that area?
Well, as it's a new standard the organizations are starting to look at deploying these, pretty much what they started to say was, well, we'll use the same kind of technologies we used before, and that was predominantly IPsec. Here's the problem, though. The reason a lot of organizations are going down Ethernet, direction of Ethernet, is a lot of the characteristics that it offers, which is things like low latency, highly flexible bandwidth, ease of management. I mean, you can't get a simpler environment than a blue cable at one end and a blue cable at the other, right? So IPsec, unfortunately, has some architectural issues with it that actually don't map particularly well to that paradigm, if you like.
Well, what are they in particular?
So let's talk about some specifics. First of all, the IPsec as it's architected adds overhead to the packets that are going across a network. And the smaller the packet is, the greater that overhead actually is.
And is that slowing things down, or what's the problem that results from that?
So mainly what it's taking is taking away bandwidth from the customer. So say I buy a gigabit link, and say my average packet size is like 400 bytes, which is pretty common nowadays. About 40 to 60% of that link is just taken up by overhead. So I effectively only get to use 600 meg of that gigabit that I just bought. So the products that we've introduced basically have no overhead. So if you buy a gig, you get a gig. Also, we have very low latency in the nano to microsecond range of latency. And the third is that because we map so closely to the physical network in the way that, you know, there's a port coming in and we encrypt at that port level, once you've put these in, install them, they auto-discover each other, and that's it. And all traffic that transitions that network is encrypted.
Okay, if people are interested in finding out a little bit more about SafeNet, where can they go on the web?
www.safenet-inc.com.
I've been speaking today with Andy Solterbeck, who is the general manager of the data protection business unit for SafeNet. And you can find out more about them at safenet-inc.com. And thanks for being with us on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.